Space, the final frontier. Space Station Ashlyn sits on the edge of Federation space with its companion ship, the USS Delamis Christian. The space around them is full of mystery and strange wonders, where secrets are kept and danger lurks around every corner. The crew of the Delamis Christian must navigate treacherous waters as they work to protect the Federation. But as they peer into the unknown, they will discover that the line between friend and foe is not always clear. They will be tested like never before, and will face challenges that will push them to their limits. Join us on this adventure as we explore the farthest reaches of space and uncover the hidden truths that lie within the shadows. Tabletop Journeys presents Star Trek: Preservations.
So the meeting on the surface has completed. As the presentation is ending, Najar Tovan looks at you and says, "You would do well to try to recognize and appreciate our cultural norms a little bit better. You Federation folks seem to have stomped all over them since you've gotten here, and it's really getting under my skin."
"My apologies. I meant no offense. I'm a scientist. I take notes. I apologize."
"We would have been happy to go ahead and provide you a transcript of the meeting. It's rude to be using your devices when other people are speaking."
"Again, I apologize for my transgression. You are 100% correct." And Najar does his best meek.
Yeah. You very much get the feeling from Tovan that he's just really, like, bothered and angry. That's the emotions that you're getting. He's been perpetually angry since you've been here. Anytime that you've read him, you've always read that anger. And so it's kind of like death by a thousand paper cuts, right? Like, the Federation can do no right. It's the feeling that you're getting. He's convinced that you guys are up to something. There's some sort of hankiness going on here. He doesn't know what. He doesn't know why.
The feeling is completely mutual, so that's fine.
Completely mutual, exactly. Yeah. So how would you guys like to proceed after the meeting here? You've had the meeting. You've got the information from them. Are you looking to kibitz and discuss? What would you like to do? I guess this is really for Najar and Ocean. I'm assuming that the security attaché would go wherever Najar points them to.
Indeed. So we're talking about still in the room with them, or after we've concluded and stepped away?
You are technically probably physically still in the room, but you can now make the decision. Do you want to leave the room? Do you want to leave the planet? What do you want to do?
From my perspective, for Ocean, he is the senior officer here. I will continue with the attempt to maintain the diplomacy, and I will socialize a little bit as much as they'll let me.
Sure.
But not really sure I'm trying to get anything. I'm more trying to just further that perception that we're not here to shoot you in the face. We're not here to stick you in the back. And as I'm doing it, I am trying to read people in my own way to see who might be willing to chat a little bit more, similar to what the pilot had been talking about.
Sure. I think it really depends on the topic of conversation. The governor is very interested singularly on the work on the array and how that's proceeding and when you think it will be back up and operational. And again, very much, they do seem more trusting of the work that you're doing than like Tovan is, right? But they definitely seem like you're here for a reason and want to know like how that process is going. The governor does, again, allude to the fact that you took basically two of their people and left the nebula. Gregor from the Temerary told them. Once you basically went radio silence, that's what happened. The governor seems also hint that there'll need to be a conversation about what happened there.
Again, the story given is like, we detected the medical emergency, transported them, took them to safety, got a clear thing, and then turns out, according to the doctor, we misread it.
Our bad. Differences, and so her take on that would basically be that perhaps when dealing with a species that you don't understand, it would have been better to communicate your intentions and your needs rather than, once again, deciding what was best for the entirety of the universe. on your own, you know. And the governor, again, much more than kind of Tovan is, she seems willing to go ahead and play ball, right? She seems willing to be friends, but is also not feeling like it's reciprocated right now. And she sees the reason to repair the diplomatic connection, but needs a willing partner to do so, and totally isn't sure right now that there is a willing partner on the inside to repair the diplomatic.
Throughout this, if Najjar can get close enough to Commander Chilrizin's ear, because he doesn't want to just throw it out to the room, he's looking for advice slash a suggestion, he'd like to try to pass along, but what about the one that claimed asylum? He seems to think that this is a death sentence for him. Are the people unaware of this?
That hasn't happened yet, technically.
Yeah, so this is the timey-wimey wobbliness. Oh. You may not be aware. If it has technically happened, like, timeline-wise, you would not
I'm
be
because
you're not
it.
On the ship. Yeah. So,
cool. I withdraw the question that was based on the TARDIS that was originally talked about being in the cargo bay, so I thought all bets were off.
You do know that when you came down to the surface, you brought one of the people with you, but Ralik, the one who
brought the non-infected.
Will wind up playing. Yeah, you brought the non-infected back with you, exactly. And if you kind of like sally over a little bit to help Ocean, you're reading the same thing that he is, where basically it's like the governor's willing to dance, but doesn't feel like she has a partner. And
that's fair. And
needs Starfleet to do some work.
So I'll try to put a foot forward with this. And I'll agree with her that our understanding of your culture is not as complete as we would like it. In the interests of not making this mistake again, I'd be willing to hear a little bit more about your culture so that we can seek to avoid such issues in the future. Would you or one of your specialists, could I meet with them to talk to get a better sense of your society here? Let's
complete the work on the array and see how that goes before we decide how much more friendly we're going to be than we are now.
Fair enough.
And there's other pleasantries kind of exchanged. The doctors thank you for the information that you presented. Sorry for the confusion. They're very much, our physiology. How weird, right?
Do any of them seem uncomfortable with the topic?
No, they seem very comfortable with the fact that you misunderstand their physiology. They very much have taken it as this is what their life is, and they very much do not... I'm trying to think how to go ahead and phrase it. Like all sort of cultural mythology, it is reasonable to assume that it has come up for a reason that this sort of feeling on how their culture is supposed to work, right? All myths have origin in truth. So there's a reason why they are so sort of like, no, we don't get parasites. That's not what happens here. And if someone is such of weak constitution that they do get parasites, it's for the betterment of the species to eliminate them from the gene pool so that they cannot spread that weakness on. So that's very much like a cultural norm that piecing together like what Epsilon species is, it's a valid interpretation of like how you would suppress the fact that what Epsilon species is real, is by basically making up a story to cover it that no, that doesn't happen here. It's a regional difference in physiology, but it is definitely not that you are infected with a homicidal species that's going to control your brain. That
crazy talk.
Right, exactly. Yeah, that's crazy talk. Like that doesn't happen to people.
The doctor looks to the commander and says, I believe I have all the information I can get here.
So, I'm thinking that there's not much more that we can get out of this. And getting back to the ship with the information that we have is probably more important than playing around. I will look to our escort and raise an eyebrow. And yep. Is there more that you would care for us to stay? It has not gone unnoticed that our presence makes you uncomfortable. In the interests, and I motion to the governor, I in the interests of what we've been discussing, I think we would all prefer to minimize that as much as possible.
Tovan speaks up and says, I think that we can end our little rendezvous here without further need to expand it. We'd be happy to send you back to your ship. Our resident, of course, stays here.
Is he still here, or is he
No, I'm probably not in the room here because he really wasn't anybody that would have been invited into the room. But Tovan more wanted to go ahead and make sure to go ahead and be very clear about the fact that the resident that's not in this room is not going back with you. He'll stay here.
Yeah.
And that we would like to continue discussing the return of our other citizen that's currently on your ship.
Absolutely, yeah.
All right. Fair enough. Tobor, you would get word from the surface that their shuttle is departing to come back to the DeLonge Christian.
Unless there's some other pressing reason, I'm happy to just have them beam back up to the ship. Because it was all the Zunians wanting them to not whatever, so I'm just like...
The one thing would be that the radiation is somewhat higher right now because of the nebula, so there may be some added complication. So if you'd like to take the risk to do so, that's fine. Or we're happy to provide them passage. I suppose that is your decision, Captain.
Yes. So consulting with our transporter chief and Mr. Tenari, what kind of risk are we talking? A 5% risk? A 15% risk? Maybe a 17 through 20? Maybe, I don't 20% risk?
I'd say probably not like a 20%, maybe like a 15% risk of complication.
And like when we say complication, are we talking like Tuvix kind of complication?
I don't think,
because if it's a Tuvix thing, I'm all in.
I don't think we want to deal with
a like a Najar Rezilzler. Like.
Or are we talking a Thomas Riker type complication?
Or talking like a radioactive puddle of goo kind of complication. There's a lot of complications that are possible here. But Tenari, you would, without needing to go ahead and test, you would know that transporting through radiation fields is generally frowned upon in polite society. Things happen.
All right. Shuttle them back up.
You guys are shuttled back up. Any particular conversation that you guys wish to have on the shuttlecraft is the pilot. There's only one additional security member of their team on the shuttle with you, and then the five of you that went down. Anything in particular that you wish to discuss or talk about?
Not amongst each other, but is it the same pilot?
I do.
It's the same pilot.
Okay.
Najar does, at some point during the voyage back up to the ship, casually throw out to Lieutenant Commander Ocean a question, something along the lines of, how has your daughter been dealing with the extra attention and the lens of the trial and the aftermath from our visit?
She's done very well. She's not entirely sure that the JAG life is for her, so she's considering other options as well. I think our encounter there may have given her a taste for a different life. But she's a smart girl. She'll make the right decision.
She is a remarkable woman, sir.
The pilot trips up, says, oh, how many children do you have, sir?
I have three.
Family. Nods his head. Family is very important. I have several offspring myself.
So since he's opened the door for that, I will do the dad thing.
Sure.
And pull out my pad. Quickly look at it just to double check the message that Tenari sent, and then flip through pictures of the two younger ones.
Oh.
Who are like
serious last Starfighter vibes when Greg is showing his picture of his 10,000 little Griglings back home.
Yes.
Yeah, fabulous. That's amazing. The pilot pushes a couple of buttons on the panel of the ship, and kind of like a holographic photo album pops up, and he starts flipping through and says, my partner and I have 20. That's normal Zunian family size. We live for a long time, and so our generations are very large. And he flips through and shows them all off. It's typical, like, proud dad showing.
Paying attention to what else is in the pictures.
Mm-hmm.
Just on the off chance that he's trying to show me something else.
I love it. Please give me a difficulty to, like, insight-y type challenge.
So this would be security again.
Sure.
And what do we have for momentum?
We're full up. 5.
Okay, so I will spend a momentum to get an extra die. Let's see. I get 2 successes.
Fabulous. So you got enough to go ahead and satisfy the challenge. In one of the pictures in particular, so you see, again, not knowing their physiology, it's a little difficult to ascertain who it is that you're looking at, but there's definitely one where probably the pilot that you're talking to and 5 or 6 smaller versions of them, and then two or three kind of adulty looking Zunians with them at the ruins that you guys flew over.
Understood. Okay.
Najjar, I also need you please to make me a inside security check. Difficulty 2.
All right. You've already got a lot of threats, so I'll leave that alone and buy an extra die with momentum. Which means I don't get a reroll, but you've got a lot of threat.
That's okay. I do have a lot of threat.
I'm glad that you didn't proclaim an extended complication range, because I have a 1, which gives me 2 successes, and then I have an 18 and a 19.
All right. You got your 2 successes. Exactly. So you don't have to worry about the extended complication range. That's good. No additional momentum. As the pilot and Ocean are speaking, you pick up that he has a Epsilon species within him.
Dormant or active?
Dormant. You have not detected any active ones amongst any of the Zunians. They have all been dormant.
Najjar just keeps expecting that to change. He's expecting not a lot of them, but maybe a small percentage of the population with active ones to continue controlling the myth to let the rest of them live and grow and expand peaceably until they're ready to, activate them all and suddenly have an army?
Totally implausible.
So that will always be a question. Is it active or inactive now that he knows there's
totally
a
difference? Fair. I just wanted to go ahead and make sure that you knew that none of them had been active yet. So they had all been dormant.
No, we have not encountered any that are active.
When he has a moment, he'll send that to the commander as well.
Okay.
Hey, any other questions or anything else that you wish to discuss on your way back up?
No. I think I will maintain the facade of trying to develop the relationships with this culture.
So. Yep. You get the feeling that he's also trying to do the same, that he seems genuine. That's the other thing that you do pick up on Najjar, is like a genuine curiosity and friendly attitude towards Ocean.
And yes, what was the pilot's name? I probably would have gotten that out.
Yeah, good question. Not sure that I ever gave him a name. I did not give them a name. Their name is Marka, M-A-R-K-A.
And during the conversation with him, what I have picked up on the fact that they're a binary race as far as sexes go?
He did refer to his partner, so.
Yep.
Tobor, depending on where you are, you probably hear that the shuttlecraft is requesting permission to dock.
So somewhere between there and there, I would have filled in Captain Gregoff with the quote-unquote false positive medical emergency thing. Had to get contact with Starfleet Medical. We've been working on tracking down this new, previously unknown biological pathogen and still working the bugs out of the system.
Yep. He may be a little bit more measured than he had been previously, but is still pretty perturbed at the breakdown of the protocol. Tobor, you and I, we are both the captains. We have our own vessels. We have you and I amongst all the people here. We should two heads of the same body, eh? We need to, you and I, I should have known that that's what was going on. If that's what you were doing and you thought that that was a possibility, really you should have read me in before you just surreptitiously beamed people off of my ship and left into the night like a thief.
I don't disagree with you, Captain. However, the protocols we have been put in place from Starfleet Command on how to deal with any suspected outbreak of this pathogen are quite strict. And I'm probably telling you more than I should right now. But I trust you. You have such a good face and you seem the best of the best. And
Tobor, flattery will get you everywhere, really. That's a beautiful thing, a beautiful sentiment, and I appreciate that. And I hope that you understand that I do have to put this in my report that this happened. I am sure that if you are under orders from Starfleet Command, this will be something for the flag officers to go ahead and figure out. Not for the working schmoes like you and me, but like that's above our pay grade to go ahead and figure out which of us is, if there's any kind of discussion. But I have to report this. Much like if this were an incident on your boat and that happened to you, I would expect that it would be in your report that I did such a crazy thing like beaming people right off of your stern and then flew off into the night. Like,
yep.
That's like, these are the things that happen. That's
And if you were to beam someone off my ship without telling me, I would assume that you had a very excellent reason for doing so.
Sure, I am. That's very gregarious of you, and I appreciate you putting yourself in the position of tolerance and reasonableness. But again, this is why we communicate, right? We talk, we say the words, we have the coffee.
That's why I'm here. Unfortunately, the situation was unclear at the beginning, and I acted in the best attempt to try and minimize potential casualties. And once we determined that the situation was safe, we came back. And to be fair, if we weren't in this nebula and I couldn't not contact Starfleet Command from here, I wouldn't have left. Yeah. It was only because I had to get back and report this possible thing and receive further instructions and check against the database on making sure all the things are tape top, hokey dokey, okie dokie, artichokey, and everything. Otherwise, I would have just gotten on the horn and called, but...
Oh, for sure.
And I didn't want to leave you and your people with the potential infected individual. We don't know the incubation period. We don't know how long exposure time is, so I wanted to remove them as quick as I could and make sure that your crew was safe.
Oh, sure, sure, sure. Yeah, no, I absolutely understand. I bet you with this thing that you're chasing down, I'm sure that it's just a mud ball in a puffball there. I'm sure that's just
taking the poke.
Yeah, you are exactly. That's exactly. You're just tripping over yourself trying to go ahead and figure out what's going on with this thing. So I totally appreciate that. I get it. Now here's the thing: we've had those Zunians. They've been up here like doing their work. We've been working with them back in there. There's probably been a dozen or two up here. Are they dangerous? Is this a thing? What's the deal? Is it really a thing? Is it not a thing? That's the question I'm not really sure on is whether or not.
Like I said, the detection we got was a false positive, so they weren't actually dangerous. There's no actual infection. But again, like I said, I had to clear the nebula in order to get access to the computing power I needed to confirm our initial scan and show that. So I would have contacted you much, much sooner had threat to you and your crew. But,
yeah, I bet. So have they both been returned to the surface now? Have they been sent back down? Or what?
One has been. Mr. Relic has decided to stay on board the ship and coordinate efforts here for the time being. And we are discussing how to proceed as the repair with your team and Mr. Chinari's team is going.
Yeah, that's good. I think that'd be good. I think Relic, because that Tanari man, he's a real sharp scalpel. I think he's a really good. He's a good one to be working on the problem here. And so Relic working with him, I think that's a match. That's a match that could work really well. So I think that's a good idea. Yeah.
Perfect. What happened is what happened.
Sure.
Feel free to put it in your report. Yeah, I'm putting it in my report because. Yep. It happened, and so...
We do, exactly, yeah. Yeah. We do the reporting, yeah. Slaves to the truth, so to speak, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, thankfully, no one was actually contagious, and that there was no outbreak. And sometimes when you have these assignments like this, you start seeing everything as a potential thing, and we're working on this problem that is bad. It's bad. It's bad, Captain.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, we don't get any of the really the glamorous like frontline stuff like you do there. Yeah. We basically just we're a boat that picks them up and puts them down. That's pretty much all that we do here. And so,
and one thing I can tell you, but I need you to not put it in your report, is we think a part of the reason why the Zunians were attacked was to try and spread the contagion. Something about the radiation and the radiation shielding.
Oh, really?
Maybe. Possibly. That's some one of the things. So if you get any really good scans on how the radiation is affecting the planet before and after the shields went up and went down, or if you can coordinate any of that kind of thing, that could be super useful.
Yeah.
If the radiation can somehow impact the thing, we either want to make sure it continues to stop it or doesn't make it spread faster.
Sure.
There's a very specific reason why they were attacked.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that we already shared this with your fellers there, but you know, they were able to, they've shared with us, they got some sensor readouts of the attack itself and what happened there and all that stuff. I think we already sent all that stuff over, but if we didn't, then yeah, absolutely.
No, my team is digesting it, but of course, if you notice anything particular, because again, you wouldn't have known this before we got here with the Somehow the radiation seems important.
All right, captain to captain. Like, you were talking like conspiracy theories that are a little wackadoodle, but that's okay. Like, we're going out on a limb, right?
Yeah.
I will say that for me, I'm not a science guy. I'm not book smart, okay? I'm sure that I come off that way, but really, that's not really my area of expertise, okay?
You hide it very well.
Experience, age and guile, right? Yeah. They said that when the attack happened, that basically the reason why the whole kit and caboodle went down like this, like that there was like some sort of like list of like cascading failures, right? That like the ship attacked one thing and then just like dominoes, they started knock, 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 knocking and the whole thing went offline, right?
Yeah. You know?
Like when the lights went out in Georgia, right? It was crazy, right? That didn't make an awful lot of sense to me. It would have had to be a really, really specific attack to go ahead and make that happen. And so I've always wondered if there was something like hanky-panky going on.
You know who also is thinking along that line? Tanari thinks that.
Is Tanari a hanky-panky?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. But
I'll have to go ahead and talk with him, because I bet you we have some hanky-panky stories that we could share.
I'm sure, yes. But no, I agree with you. It definitely looks like whoever did this knew which system to hit to cause it to do the cascade. This wasn't random.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I'm even wondering if I'm going way down the was it sabotage. Did they have a dude on the inside that was like flipping the switches when he was hitting the thingies?
Maybe. I'll ask Tanari when I get back.
Exactly.
When I'm done here.
That's a good question. So Najar is asking, where was this? Did you go over to the Tamar area to go ahead and have this conversation?
No, I'm just in the ready room.
Yeah.
Just wanted to know if it was something that Najar could comment on afterwards. He wasn't interrupting, but whether or not he heard it.
Anyway, Captain, I appreciate you taking the time to go ahead and to talk with me a little bit here. I'm glad that we have an understanding on first what this was and what was going on here. And that, two slaves to the truth. We're just going to make sure that we can,
we're
out here doing our job, yeah.
But also, Captain, so considering there's been some hanky-panky going on, I need you to keep your ship at yellow alert, because we still don't know where the ship that did this. It could be nearby, hiding in the radiation.
Oh, jeez, you know, I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so the Delamis Christian is at yellow alert. I think you should keep yours as well, and don't let your guard down.
Yeah, I can do that, but I'll let you know, like, the offensive capabilities of the Temerary here, you're talking to him, is pretty much, that's about as offensive as we get, so that's...
Well, but I would want to make sure your defense is in place, and that you don't get caught with someone blowing smoke up your kilt.
You know, they'd have some options to catch the right one, too, so that's...
So, just...
That's good, yeah.
I will do my best to make sure that the Delamis Christian doesn't let anything happen. We will engage any enemy that threatens us, but I just want you to don't let your guard down. Keep your crew tip-top shape and keep a weathered lookout eye.
Oh, geez.
You got some good sensors, too, so we'll tie them together and expand our search radius.
Yeah. No, that's I appreciate the heads up. That's a good thing. I hadn't really thought about that. All right, yeah.
There's more going on here than they're letting us know. Nope, so
exactly. I'll be talking with Tanari about the hanky panky here.
Right.
Because really, I think that there's some loosey goosey hanky panky happening here. We're on it.
Perfect. Excellent. I trust you. You got this.
All right, Captain. If you need to beam anybody else off of my ship and abscond with them into the night, you call me first next time.
I will call you first before I do that ever again.
Yeah, you do that. I'd appreciate that.
Very good. Two more out.
Over and out. Yep. Make me trot out that accent again, Joe. Jeez. Yeah. Keep jumping back and forth between Minnesota and French Canadian, too. Like, that's like really.
Who boot?
Two side by each. Yeah. So, the other thing that was on my list to go ahead and scratch off here tonight. Again, the away team is on its way back, probably is docking any minute now. While they were gone, however, Tobor, you received an official asylum request. So. Let's have that conversation. That was very much the way that we left last episode, was Ralik saying that he would basically, even what you have told him, he will be a cultural outcast, and it will endanger him, his family, and so he would like to request asylum, and is asking how that process works.
I'm like, have a seat. Let's talk. I need to understand more of the threat to you and your family. Unfortunately, Starfleet has not, at the request of your government, maintained as close of ties and communication, so we're not as aware of your culture and your belief systems as I personally, as a xenoanthropologist, would like. So please share with me your story, sir.
Sure, yeah. So he'll, at the risk of going through it all and everything like that, but basically he'll talk through just very much the cultural norm that in his perception, the array has basically made it so that radiation does not damage and endanger the surface, but that their species had to adapt over the millennium before the array was up to a high radiation environment. And so they don't get sick. They don't have any known parasites or anything like that that can infect the Zunians. They don't get diseases, nothing like that. And that it is very much a pseudo-religious cultural, trying to even think of the not cultural taboo, but like the cultural norm. There are all these myths about the beast within the beast, the being within the being, is kind of the phrase that they keep using over and over.
Right.
As a sense of possession. And there are probably stories from a while ago where, similar to like witch hunts and stuff like that, where Zunians were persecuted because they were believed to be of two beings, that sort of thing.
So yeah. I want to probe, are Zunians native to this planet?
Yep.
Okay. And then, like, how far back does this religious mythology of the beast and the beast, sure, does it track with the timeline in Tethys? Is it as though the thing happened in Tethys and it spread and it landed here and there was a whole thing until the radiation kind of kicked in? Yeah. And then...
The difficulty there is that you are dealing with sort of like approximate time frames, right? So is it reasonable to assume that between Zunian 3 and Tethys that one is the chicken and one is the egg? Sure, that's entirely possible.
Yeah, I'm just like narrowing it down to, is this like ancient Egypt old or Rome biblical old?
Yeah, sure. Probably more pre-Rome, like not, maybe not full all the way back to Egypt, because if you think about Egyptian, it was like 3,000 years before.
The ruins in Tethys are like 10,000 years old, something crazy like that.
Yep. This mythology, if you say that you've...
And I'll share with him this former civilization, Tethys, shares a lot of similar cultural markers, and this mythology seems to be very similar. And then I pull out the blue eye from him, and if necessary, I'll take him down to the holodeck and run him through the program again.
Very interested in seeing that, because he would say there is definite parallelism between this mythology and the mythology of Zunian 3. There's a definite parallelism here. I can't tell you which one came first, but there's definitely, we have the same myths of beings inhabiting Zunians right down to the blue eyes.
So since Starfleet, and then I dig into them, came with their anti-radiation, has there been an increase in getting sick and stuff, or is that just a natural adaption?
Nope, that's just a natural adaption at this point. We have no parasitic predators. So
perfect. Okay.
Yeah, which is good. That was honestly one of the things that when the Federation first came and offered to go ahead and fix our planet for us, and he puts that in his seven-fingered air quotes kind of thing, offered to fix it for us, that was something that Zunians were very worried about. Was it going to revert some of the natural things that my people have developed over the years?
Yeah. No, I could see that, and I would say from that perspective, that was a younger, more boldly adventurous Starfleet, I think. If we were to have encountered your civilization now with our current sensibilities, the offer probably would not have been extended, even if your government requested it, because it may, in fact, be. I'm very fortunate that it has not had a negative impact on your species physiology, or so it seems, but yes. But
Tanari, I would say that if you're trying to get in touch with the captain, you can communicate with him, and so, Captain, your badge would go off.
Turbor.
Yes, this is Lieutenant Tanari. Can I speak with you privately, please?
Of course. Mr. Relic, if you would be so kind. I'm going to have my yeoman take you to some quarters, have you begin the process of filling out the paperwork necessary for your request. There is going to be a bit of a challenge because of the communication blackout with the nebula. and the radiation of communicating this to Starfleet. And again, I would like also, as part of your report, if you could put in some potential pushback responses from your government and how I could, like, what should I?
I'm sure whatever quarters you can put me up with would be fine until this issue is resolved.
And I think until we get it fully resolved, let's just say that we've agreed you stayed up to liaison with our engineering experts on fixing the array.
Perfect. That sounds fantastic.
In case your security chief Tovon seemed very anti-Federation, you're welcome to contact and call anyone you need and say you and I have talked, and while we're waiting on the medical results from the surface, we are going to use this time to, you know, assist our engineering team. As you were doing with Captain Gregoff, you're now working from the Dalamas Christian to ensure a speedy repair of the array and such.
Understood, sir. Thank you.
Of course. And I do a tap Crimin Tala to my ready room. Would you please see to Mr. Relic is given quarters and begin the formal asylum paperwork request?
Of course, sir.
Very good.
And they leave.
Perfect. Tap back. Mr. Tenori, you have my undivided attention. Do you want to have it over comms, or do you want to come up to my ready room? Or should I come down to engineering?
I'll come up to your ready room, sir.
Very good. See you in a few.
So Tenori shows up. He's looking a little pensive. He says, sir, I have some concerns.
All right.
I apologize for adding to any stresses you already have right now.
It comes with the pips.
But as chief engineer, it's my duty to look out for the safety of the ship and the crew.
Of course.
And it seems to me that with this Epsilon protocol, we have a large portion of the ship that is not under our control.
I wouldn't phrase it like that, but one could make the argument.
And potentially fatally.
And?
Like I said, it's a concern. The safety of this crew is at least large part under my purview.
And the efficient operation of the ship's systems is your direct purview. The safety of the crew is my purview, Mr. Tenori, and which a duty I take extraordinarily care of. That being said, all of us who have been assigned to the task force working on this particular problem understood the greater significance of the mission, and that the mission must come first. There's a particular reason why the Saber class was chosen for this mission. You know why that is?
No, sir, I do not.
Because Starfleet Command has deemed 40 lives to be an acceptable loss if it were to come to containing an Epsilon outbreak. Versus it getting loose on a Galaxy-class ship or a Sovereign.
You can tell by his expression that bothers Tenori deeply.
Now, in a perfect world, Mr. Tenori, we would never have to contemplate that. But in the 300 and some odd years I've been alive, we plan for the worst and hope for the best.
There are a few issues that have raised his head recently that also have me worried. First of all, that this Epsilon protocol was not able to tell the difference between a holodeck simulation of the Epsilon parasite and the real thing.
That's not true. It did. In fact, computer, secured Epsilon protocol in the ready room.
Epsilon secured.
Very good. DC, please let Mr. Tenori know the programming and protocol checklist that you were analyzing during the holographic incident.
Okay. Josh is trying to remember the specifics. Hold on one sec. It was basically the material that it was scanning to generate the holodeck images was close enough to actual Epsilon DNA and stuff like that. And that was probably most specifically what it was, is that there was probably DNA that was picked up by the scanning process that the Epsilon protocol specifically picked up on. And when it was rendered, basically the computer's like, hey, wait, this could be a real thing. What's going on here? And the computer will also say that while Epsilon protocol was not fully engaged, what was engaged was a subsystem which was sent to the senior officer on board, who at the time was Lieutenant Commander Ocean, to query for input what was going on so that it could learn. It realized that it was different, but it did not realize why it was different and it needed input. Is that the information that you were looking for, Joe?
Second is more of a concern I have with the higher-ups at Starfleet Command. It seems that if this protocol is capable of scanning and detecting the Epsilon parasite, that someone at Starfleet had the technology capable of detecting the Epsilon parasites before Neela and I came up with it and didn't see fit to tell us.
So there's a difference between using the near entirety of the computer core of a starship in order to generate this level of computing power versus miniaturizing it and plugging it into a handheld tricorder. And that's from my notes following along with your and Neela's work on the scanning protocols and such. It's been more of an exercise of functionally miniaturizing the technology. We've had the DNA since Captain Picard and, or no, Admiral Picard and Captain Riker phasered the first one until it exploded. And then, of course, intelligence came in and scooped up all the goo and ran a whole bunch of tests. And that's how we got the initial data for Epsilon. But that's why it was initially limited to just inside the ship, because it needed that much computing power.
Nonetheless, it would have been nice to have had knowledge of this technology so that we didn't have to start from scratch.
But by starting from scratch, without being contaminated by existing data, you could have discovered something that the previous folks who worked on it missed. If you just picked up their notes and ran with it, you too might have missed what they missed.
Science works because people build on what other researchers have built in the past.
Sometimes.
So you don't have to start from scratch to start.
However, we in the Federation expect every species to build their first warp drive on their own without any notes from anyone else. I understand. I too have had similar discussions with Commodore Pritchard, and he and I have agreed that there is value in compartmentalizing this information and us coming at events with fresh eyes, as it were. Had you run into a dead end on the scanning technology and protocol, we would have delved deeper into the computer core and pulled stuff out. But you took the information that we had and you stuffed it all inside a tricorder, which no one else had been able to figure out in the last 15 years. And trust me, they've been trying.
I appreciate that, sir. But nonetheless, I have grave concerns about working on a ship that we don't have control over.
That is a valid concern. But right now, the programming in the Christian, the directives that it is driving at, is the defeat and containment of the Epsilon with the greatest deference to ensuring the survival of the crew whenever possible. So essentially our missions are in alignment.
And then what happens if our mission and the Epsilon Protocol missions don't come into alignment?
We make sure that that doesn't occur.
That's not entirely reassuring, sir.
I never said it was reassuring, Mr. Tenari. It's just the truth in which we are operating under. So, with that being said, if you can think of a way in which to, I don't want to say bypass, not saying bypass, establish a way in which we can convince the protocol to accept new commands from someone other than my former host, that would be a worthwhile hobby project that you could work on.
Tenari looks confused at that. Sir, what exactly do you mean?
So the protocol was the brainchild of myself, my former host. And during the conflict situation, command and control over it was transferred to my former host before she was killed in action. And because of that, the protocol is only willing to accept commands from her, who is now deceased.
Tenari, I want you to make me, please, a 3 difficulty challenge, if you would like, to try and... I want to give you some information on why that's wackadoodle.
All right. So, what do I need to be rolling? You know, like,
science and something. Science and...
Insight?
Or reason. Yeah.
I would prefer reason and science.
Reason, science, totally. Yeah. Form a hypothesis from available data. Like, you're thinking through what Tobor's telling you. And part of it doesn't make sense, but I want to give you some very specific information about why it doesn't make sense. Your eyebrow raise is valid.
All right. Then I will spend 2 momentum and 1 threat to get 2 extra dice.
I like it. I like it. Take your threat. In fact, I'm going to use that threat. I'm going to spend 3 threat then. Take your 1 and spend 3. So the complication range on this one's going to be 18 to 20.
Okay. You know how I roll.
I do. It's true.
Let's see.
And it's not an engineering roll, so he doesn't have his
roll. Right. Yeah. It's not a daring engineering roll. Yeah.
Can my computer focus count?
Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. I do have a 20.
You don't even need to spend the threat, Josh.
You don't even need to spend the threat, exactly, yeah.
However, I have a 2, a 7, and a 12, so that's 4 successes.
Okay, plenty of successes. You even gain 1 of your momentum back. So you firmly believe what Tobor is telling you. However, why this is messed up is that if the protocol itself did not transfer its command function in that situation, right, then... it's not just a protocol. There is a level of intent that would go behind, no, I know the person that I'm receiving command function from is dead, and that therefore I need to, you know, like all Starfleet protocols are written with the chain of command in mind, right? It's one person down, the next person's up, they're the one that are in control of the protocol. If any of the protocols worked in such a way that they could arbitrarily ignore that, nothing would function because eventually things would just all break, right? So the fact that Epsilon Protocol is doing that suggests a level of intelligence or sentience that it's intentional. And I'm going to bank that complication for later.
Sir, with the Epsilon Protocol, do we have a Moriarty situation?
Not as such, because it is still bound by its directives. It is not fully free to operate under its own free will. But within its directives, it has an extraordinary amount of capacity and capability.
But you're saying it is sentient.
Not by the definition that was established in Starfleet versus Lieutenant Commander Data, but pretty damn close. It does not exist outside of and is separate of the computer core itself. But yes, the ship is aware.
I see. This doesn't exactly allay my concerns.
I did not think it would.
So, Tanari, I have decided what the complication is going to be.
That I don't ever sleep for the next...
No, I figured Tanari was going to do that on his own, because now his conspiracy theory mind is running. No, if you remember, about 20 minutes ago or so, Tobor specifically enacted Epsilon secure protocols, so Epsilon's been listening to this conversation since then. I am giving Tanari, for the foreseeable future, a trait when he deals with Epsilon Protocol. Any challenge related to Epsilon Protocol for Tanari is going to be one difficulty higher for a while, because Epsilon Protocol is suspicious of you.
Reasonable.
The machine is looking back. So just make sure that you remember that, because...
And Tobor is very aware that we're still in Epsilon secured mode.
Yep.
And has been talking like this and somewhat freely to the DC.
Nothing you said has aroused its suspicion. Epsilon feels like it understands you.
Is it going to be one difficulty higher, or are you going to have an extended complication range?
I don't really need to worry about an extended complication range with Tanari. It's definitely going to be one difficulty
Touché.
Higher. Yeah.
Touché.
Wow, that's harsh.
And so I look down at the desk. It looks like the away team's coming back. Shall we go meet them in the conference room? Give you some time to digest this news. Took me a hot minute as well.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you confiding in me.
You are my second officer, and you now needed to know. No one else does, though. Ocean is Redden, and Najar is also Redden, but that's as far as it goes right now.
Yes, sir. I understand.
All right.
Excellent. Let's end the scene there then.